There's just something about that one word there, alone. In Christ alone. The apostle said, ye are complete in Him. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, if you have Him, you have it all. If you don't have Him, you can have everything else, but you have nothing. You're complete in Him. In Christ alone. Thank you, choir. Choir director, it's great songs today. Moved hearts as the Spirit anointed that. Amen. Just some things coming up in April and May that our church is hosting. And I tell you, the thing that makes that a powerful time and meeting is if the church that is hosting an event shows up to it. How many of y'all invite someone for supper and then when they show up, you're gone shopping? It don't work real well. First of all, we have the privilege of having the Overcomer Choir here on Tuesday, April 27th. And if you're thinking, well, that's some kind of important day, isn't it? It is. That's my wife's birthday. And so she's not going to get to go out and eat this year. We're going to have the choir here, the Overcomer Choir. It'll be a great time of inviting friends and folks to come and to hear the gospel and song. And then in May, we host this year, we move it around about every 6 years, we're hosting the PMA convention. And I've said this every year, getting to be almost 20 years now, but somehow some folks are still getting the wrong information. The PMA convention is camp meeting for our churches in the area. It's not just for ministers. We have one meeting that's just for ministers, and that's just a business meeting in the afternoon on Wednesday. But every other service is for all the churches, and we've had some tremendous meetings, people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, great things have happened. That's coming up in May. And some other things, some other missionaries dropping by. We just got a lot of great things to look forward to. And then there's youth camp after that. Then there's Camp Dove, and hallelujah. We're just church-going folk. Amen. Praise God. I still believe you only love God as much as you love His house. Hallelujah. Love His word. Well, hallelujah. You're some good folk. Amen. I'm just excited to see you here on this Easter evening. And we're just going to believe God to do something in the remainder of the service. I want to revisit the text. I'm going to preach something different, but I want to revisit the text from this morning. And so if you'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. I believe in every service, eternity for someone is at stake. I take it serious, and I just believe God wants to speak to us. I'm so glad we have His Word and we have Christ. What would this day, several people mentioned, what would this day be if it wasn't for Christ? Christ has given us a lot of our national holidays, and then folks have taken Him out of it and just ruined everything. I mean, could you stand for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 20? I'm just going to read two verses of this evening. And again, it's good to see everyone here, our visitors tonight. We're so thankful to have you worshiping with us. Then the same day at evening, same day that the women visited and found the tomb empty, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I believe there's someone in the service tonight that Christ would like to come to you and say, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Hallelujah. Verse 20 is our text tonight. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Here it is. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They had gathered for fear of the Jews. They had gathered in despondency. But then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I want to preach tonight from sad to glad. Sad to glad. That's what the Lord can do for folks. He can take them from sad to glad. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts in the house tonight. Jesus, we know that you're here. Make yourself known in a very special way. Lord, you came to set the captive free. You came to open the prison doors and to bind up, Lord, the broken heart. Lord, you've never erred or never changed from that mission. That's what you desire to do tonight. Thank you for your people that love you. Lord, may there be a sense of your Holy Spirit settle upon this place right now. God, accomplish eternal things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. From sad to glad. When speaking of the acceleration of cars, they have kind of a scale that they use. They'll say that car can go from 0 to 60 in so many seconds. What would 5 seconds, 10 seconds? That'd be pretty fast. Have you ever heard that expression? From 0 to 60. We took our seniors one time on a senior trip to Cedar Point, and they talked me into getting on the dragster. Has anyone been on the dragster? That even sounds bad, doesn't it? The dragster goes from 0 to 120 in 4 seconds. Some people pass out. That's pretty fast, isn't it? And you can marvel at that. From 0 to 120 miles per hour in 4 seconds. Well, I'll tell you something more amazing. In just moments, just in his appearance, those disciples went from abject sadness to gladness. From sadness to gladness in moments. Because Christ visited them. Aren't you glad what he can take you from and take you to? He took them from sadness to gladness. From sad to glad. I want to state the obvious here, amen, but the disciples were sad. They had put all of their hopes and dreams in Christ. They had watched him murdered and crucified. And at his death, their loss was great. The loss of a friend. The loss of their teacher. Their dreams were dashed. Their hopes were destroyed. Their purpose was gone. The disciples were truly sad. And I want you to know something. Jesus doesn't like to see his disciples sad. Jesus doesn't like to see people sad. If you're a parent, you understand this. One of the worst things that can happen to you is for you to see your kids hurt or sad. I think God's heart, I read in the psalm in the prayer room, he's a God plenteous in compassion. I believe God's heart is moved when he sees folks sad. How many know there's a lot of sad, miserable, depressed, discouraged folks in the world that we live in? You say, what are you talking about? I believe one of the reasons Jesus showed up, I know he had other things in his mission to prove that he was resurrected and to prove that he had come out of that grave. He had other things that he needed to do, but I believe one of the main reasons Jesus showed up to that gathering of disciples was because he didn't like to see his disciples sad. There's some folks in the house tonight, you might have hidden it when you came in behind a facade of friendliness, but you're sad tonight. Things are troubling your heart. And I want you to know Jesus has noticed, and Jesus doesn't like to see someone sad. Think of how many times Jesus said, and let not your heart be troubled. You know, some people quote that like Jesus was just a little bit aggravated at them being weak. And he's saying, now cowboy up. Come on, come on, get with it. Be a man. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus just kind of upset because their hearts were. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus was concerned because his disciples were troubled in heart. Jesus cares when his disciples are sad. And there's so many folks that wait today. They're sad. But remember, that is before he comes. It's a different story after he comes. And then something else I've noticed in this story, nothing else could have made them glad. I mean, they're depressed, their hopes and dreams are dashed. Nothing else besides his coming is going to make them glad. Can you imagine saying to those disciples, oh, come on, cheer up, we're going to have a fish fry tonight. Man, what's that going to help? Don't you know there's a sale on at Walmart? I mean, that's really going to help these disciples. Have you seen the latest movie out? I'm telling you, you say, that's silly, Pastor. No, it's not. When you think of how folks in this world, in depression and sadness, and folks in the church are trying to assuage and trying to get rid of their sadness with just those kind of things. People are sad. I know we do a lot of things, but people are in such a mess. An ice cream social isn't going to solve anything that's going on in their life. This case of these disciples, the situation they were in, there was only going to be one thing that would erase that sadness, and that is the replacement of he whom they had lost, the return, he who they had lost. I'm telling you, only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Only Jesus can deal with the problems of people's hearts. I don't like to see folks sad, but I'm telling you, there's only one thing that's going to make them truly glad, and that is if they allow Jesus to come to them, make himself known, enter their life, enter their problem, enter trouble, enter their heart. I'm telling you, when he comes, he'll make glad. Oh, hallelujah. How many found that to be true? When Jesus came in, when Jesus came into your life, he made you glad. Hallelujah. I don't think I would be wrong in saying, amen, that it cannot be said that there's anything of this world that has ultimately made anyone truly glad. You name what it is. I think we can say tonight that there has been nothing of this world that in the end has ultimately made anyone glad. In fact, it's the participation in the pleasures of this world. It's the partaking of this world that does the opposite and makes folks sad. Nobody can boast, well, I partook of this and that of the world, and I tried this and that, and I ended up glad. They can only say, I ended up sad. I've even heard lottery winners. You know, that's a big thing of our nation right now, gambling and lottery and all. I've heard people say, if I could just win $1 million or $2 million or $10 million in the lottery, make me truly glad and happy. Even have you heard the testimony of those that have won the lottery? They'll tell you right out. They'll say, the worst thing that ever happened to me is when I won that lottery. My life part became more miserable. Even there's nothing in this world that can make you truly glad. Oh, but since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came in, I'm telling you, he can make you glad, and only he. You can search the world over. You can try this. You can try that. Amen. You can go inward, barricade yourself in. Amen. And you'll never be happy. But I'm telling you, he can cause you to be glad. And just like that, those disciples went from sadness to gladness. It wasn't a roller coaster ride. It wasn't fickleness. Hallelujah. It's because Jesus can do that. Amen. He made them glad. Nothing else will work. But I also got to admit in the story, Jesus showing up from the grave, it didn't make some folks glad. His enemies weren't glad. Those Jews, the high priest, the Pharisees, it did not make them glad. Those who did not desire to serve Christ were not glad that he showed up from that empty tomb and showed up alive. Amen. I want to tell you something. The inability of Jesus to make anybody glad has nothing to do with Jesus and everything about that person. If someone said, well, Jesus never made me glad, that has nothing to do with Christ. That has to do with the person. You see, Jesus coming, Brother Norvell, it made the disciples glad and the Jews mad. They were upset. Same Jesus, different desire of the person's heart. Amen. Those that were glad were those that had a relationship with him. Who was glad that Jesus came from the tomb? I'll tell you, his mother was. Mary was glad. His disciples, his friends, his cousins, John and James, they were glad. They were glad because they had a relationship with him. I'm telling you, that's what allows Jesus to make us glad. It's when we have a relationship with him. You may be here tonight and not have a relationship with him. And if you're not interested, the fact that the Lord made his presence known in our service a while ago meant nothing to you. But if you had a relationship with Christ while ago, the presence of the Lord was felt, you felt a gladness begin to come into your heart. It didn't make everyone glad, but it made those that had a relationship with him glad. It made those who were grateful for what he had done, it made those glad. Who are you talking about? Mary Magdalene. I mean, even in the resurrection story, it reminds us that she was the one out of whom the Lord had cast seven devils. And she's rejoicing. She's glad because he's risen. Oh, I'm telling you, if you're grateful, his presence makes you glad. You know, I am convinced that the ungrateful cannot be made glad. You show me someone that's ungrateful, there's nothing you do to make them glad. But if you're a Mary Magdalene and you say, oh Lord, I'm so thankful you set me free. I'm so thankful you freed me from those evil spirits and cast them. Oh, then when Jesus comes, your heart's going to soar in gladness. Jews weren't glad, but those who were dedicated to Christ and his cause, they were glad. Those disciples that had left all to follow him, when he shows up, they're glad. Those that wanted to serve him, they're glad. The Jews may not be glad, but those who wanted what Christ promised, they were glad. Amen. Those who later heard about him, they were glad. And that company includes us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Not all were glad. And then I want to say that even though he made them glad, they still had the realities of life to face. I wish folks would realize that the presence of Jesus will make you glad. The fact that Jesus appeared to them made them glad. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve. When they walked out of that room, they still had to pay the Roman tax. They still might have had a sick kid. They still had a journey to take back to their homeland. They still had responsibilities. They still had their enemies, the Jews, against them. Oh, but you say, well, they're going to be sad again. No. He will make you glad, and you still got the realities of life to face. But if you allow him to make you glad, you can face the realities of life with a new perspective and a new passion. Oh, hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, there's a lot of things to face. There's bills and there's problems and maybe lack of employment. And you see, I just can't be glad because of all the realities of life. Let him show up. He'll make you glad. There'll still be the realities of life, but you'll have the joy of the Lord giving you strength to face the realities of life. Hallelujah. Last of all tonight, your gladness was based on a reality. We were talking at lunch of what historians, if they're honest, will say. Did you know there's more historical evidence for Christ's resurrection than there is that Napoleon actually was the general that fought at the Battle of Waterloo? And you could pick several different historical events. One honest historian said the kind of eyewitness accounts and evidence of the resurrection is the kind of evidence that historians drool over. It's so accurate. That's why I don't listen to them. You know, when they have a religious matter on television. They might pick one person that truly believes the Bible is the Word of God, but he's someone that's kind of, you know, a little messed up, and they'll have him on there for one little blurb, and then they'll parade all these liberal people with degrees that don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. They'll try to wax brilliant and intelligent. Amen. But what they're denying is there is historical evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead. What are you trying to talk about? Well, people are building their hopes on castles in the air, on fantasies, on legends, on a bunch of hocus pocus, if you will. Amen. Just dreams, things that are unreal. They're putting their hopes in that. They're building their lives on that. But when Jesus showed up, it was not a ghost that in that room. It was not an apparition. In fact, the Bible makes clear Jesus took every pain possible, amen, to prove that he was a reality though resurrected. Amen. You know, it kind of bothered him when he passed through the walls with the doors locked, and they thought maybe it's just a ghost or a fantasy or a hallucination or a dream. And to prove that he was real, Jesus even took a piece of fish and ate it and said, when's the last time you seen a ghost eat a fillet of fish? Amen. He was making it clear that he was a reality. I'm telling you why you can be glad in Christ tonight. Amen. It's not a dream. It's not a fantasy. If you put your faith in him, he is a reality. In fact, he's the greatest reality that there is. Hallelujah. Oh, he can make you glad. Their gladness was based on a reality. It's not just a nice sounding story, a nice sounding anecdote of words that have poetic of thrust to them. Amen. It is a reality. But I'm telling you what he did 2,000 years ago. He can do this night. He can take someone from sadness to gladness. Oh, sin will make you sad. The world will make you sad. Satan will make you sad. Even people will make you sad. Oh, but when he comes in to your heart and life, he'll make you glad, because there's nothing like the presence of Jesus. There's nothing like the person of Jesus. And when he comes to you, he'll do just what he did when he came to those disciples. He said, peace unto you. Peace. I'll tell you, there's no gladness like having a peace that everything's all right. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Would you come, music? You may tire of hearing me say, that reminds me of a song. It's just the way my mind has always worked. But as I was preparing this afternoon, I don't even think I remember how the verses go. But when I was a kid, we used to sing a song. Over and over, the chorus kept going over and over, Brother Brian. Oh, we used to sing this. We'd shout it when we sang. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. How many remembers? Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. He can take you from sad to glad. Years ago, when policemen still walked beats in major cities, on a Sunday morning, a policeman was walking his beat, and a stranger from out of town, the city of St. Louis, stopped him there on the street and said, I'm a believer, and I'd like to go to church this morning. He said, I see several churches along this stretch of road. Which one would you recommend? And the policeman said, well, sir, I'm not a believer, but I know exactly what church to recommend. He said, which one? The policeman said, that one over there. And the stranger said, well, there's all kinds of churches on this road. Why do you recommend that church over there? He said, because when folks come out of church over there, they come out happy. I can tell you why they come out happy. Because Jesus showed up in their midst. I want to tell you, you can leave here happy tonight. I'm not talking about the world's happiness. I'm talking about a deep-seated joy based on the reality that he has saved you. He has washed you from your sin. He's given you the assurance of heaven. I've never heard a time when folks are struggling so much with depression, thoughts of suicide. I've talked just pretty recently with a young man on the phone wanting to commit suicide. You know, the devil loves that. He loves to make folks sad and depressed and discouraged. And he paints the world out there as where it's all happening pleasure and hilarity and fun and all of that. Those folks are miserable, miserable. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the mystique will wear off and the adventure will be gone. And the devil will have you in a snare of depression. I mean, folk, their minds are in bondage to darkness. The God of this world hath blinded their hearts and their eyes and their understanding. And they are depressed. Hallelujah. Nobody that's met Jesus has ever felt like suicide. No one that surrendered their heart to the Lord has ever felt like it's all. I'm telling them, if they're truly giving themselves to Him, because He is a light that will shine in the darkness. How many believes that right now? He's a light that'll shine in the darkness. Oh, the darkness of sadness and depression. But oh, here comes the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's hope when the situation's hopeless. He's peace when it's nothing but turmoil. He's liberty when it's nothing but bondage. Hallelujah. He can take you from sad to glad. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Give Him your situation. Give Him your circumstance. And let Him step in to your heart like He stepped into that room. Hallelujah. I believe He does that. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, Lamb of God.